think about that for just a moment. Well, that'll be very important for you to know in just a few minutes. But just think about 5 months. And has she been a good baby?
So far?
The times that she's not, is she's more like Kyler than you, right? Okay. All right. I get that, Kyler. Thank you. You guys have done very well. Maybe you could take her back here. And she's just a great baby. And I think, thank you for that. I want you to think about 5-month-old baby, 4-month-old baby, 3-month-old. Just think about that for just a moment and let that kind of sink in. How little and how innocent and how special that baby really is. You know, for a mother, and this is a special event for a mother, a woman to be a mother. And to tell you the truth, when I think about motherhood, I think about all the many sacrifices that go into being a mother. I think Brother Sampson said it well. There's probably so many things that we could say about babies, so many things that we could say about mothers and mothers. And there's a definite connection between, you know, a baby and a mother. I read about a second grade teacher that was teaching. She was teaching her students about magnets. And she asked this question. It was rather interesting. She was asking them and explaining them about magnets and everything. So when the test time rolled around, which was a couple days later, she put on the test these words. She says, "My name starts with M. I have 6 letters." She says, "I pick up things. What am I?" And 50% of the class wrote mothers. Well, the other 50 had it right, but she didn't have the heart to mark that one wrong, because isn't that so much like a mother? Isn't that so much like what they are? It's been said that when you think about it, that a mother holds their children's hands for a short while, but their hearts forever. There is the heart of the mother. There's something about that, that connection that's intricately connected with their child, that is never forgotten, both by the mother nor by the child. But I've heard a lot of stories about motherhood. You hear a lot of those things, unfortunately, at funerals. But it's so true that when you think about the connection between the mother and their children, how important it really is. And the love, the deep love that is there. Every now and then I'll run across couples, young couples, and they'll say something like this to me. "You know, Pastor, I really would like to have children, but I wouldn't want to have any children being born right now." I mean, these are very troublesome days. These are very difficult times. And I don't really think that if it were me, that I, you know, and for us, that we want any children to be born in this time period. Well, then my question comes, well, can we really trust God with our children? Can we really believe that God can protect our children? Do we believe that God's big enough to do that? That's a good question. That's a question that every one of us need to consider this morning. What can we do if we live in a generation or a time period when maybe in our minds would be perhaps the worst time to bear a child, but yet that's the time that God would choose to send a child? Sometimes I think of teenagers. And teenagers, you know, that they get the idea at times their mothers do not love them. They get the idea that maybe their mothers are trying to rob them of some joy that they could have in their life. And so they feel like they're not loved. But I can assure you, teenagers, that your mother loves you very much. And she wants what's best for you. Irma Bombeck, who is the humorist, she wrote these words, and I think it says it quite well of a mother. She says, as she wrote these down, and she's the one that just kind of made practical everyday things funny. And she wrote down these words. She said, I loved you enough to ask about where you were going, with whom, and what time you would get home. I love you enough to insist that you buy a bike that we could afford to give you with your own money. I loved you enough to make you return a Milky Way with a bite out of it to the drugstore and confess I stole it. I loved you enough to stand over you for 2 hours while you cleaned your room, a job that would have taken me about 15 minutes. I loved you enough to let you see anger, disappointment, disgust, and tears in my eyes. I loved you enough to admit I was wrong and ask for your forgiveness. I loved you enough to let you stumble and fall and hurt. But most of all, I loved you enough to say no when you hated me for it. That was the hardest part of all. You know, it's not a glamorous job. In fact, it seems as though being mother in this time is like, you know, that's old-fashioned. I mean, after all, life is more than just being a mother. But yet, in this world that is driven with lies and deceits and ungodliness and all the other things that come with a society like this, people ask, do children deserve to be born in a world like this? Is this really what we want in this world? Well, I can assure you that God sends children. And with that, we have responsibilities. I love that verse in Psalm 127. It says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early and to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrow, for he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. But I want to call your attention to that word in the verse, watchman. Watchman. I thought about that, you know, this week in considering this very important message that I believe God laid on my heart about being a trusting mother. Being a mother who trusts God. And then I thought about the watchman here. This is in the context of God sending children, and he speaks of a city that is enclosed by four walls. And in that city, they would have one big gate, and there would be watchmen that would guard the gate. And the whole idea was that they would do everything humanly possible to guard the families of that city. And a mother, in a sense, is the watchman that physically guards her children. That's what she does. And certainly dads have a part in that, so don't misunderstand me. This is to mothers, though, today. But I want you to consider that even in the human side of this, that as a watchman, the watchman can only guard so long. They're not able to guard forever. I mean, you have to sleep sometime. You have to eat sometime. You have to rest sometime. So you can't guard 24/7. And I begin to think, all right, if we can't guard, who can guard? If we can't take care of our children 24/7, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, who can take care of our children? Who is it? That when we look out and we say, well, you know, here's our child, and here's the child that God gave us. Here's the person that God wants me to be responsible for, whether it be 1, 2, 5, 10, whatever. God wants me to understand that the trust has to be something much larger than that. I have to be able to trust, and that's the idea of the ability to surrender and give up to God our hope, our future, and our promise to God. When we turn in our Bibles to Exodus chapter 2, we're introduced to this very fact. In Exodus chapter 2, we're introduced to Moses' parents. We're introduced to Moses' mother, whose name is Jochebed. and his father named Amram. The Bible speaks in this passage of what Jochebed had to do as a mother. Very, very difficult. Can I call your attention to verse number 1? Notice the Bible says, "And there went a man of the house of Levi and took to wife a daughter of Levi." So these were Levites. These were those who were the priests. They were the godly responsibility of taking care of the spiritual makeup of the community. "And the woman conceived and bare a son, and when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months." Now let's stop and let me set it up for you. If you go back to chapter 1, always remember, if you read your Bible, read in context, in chapter 1, Pharaoh had sent out a decree that all male children be killed. He wanted them to destroy. And at this point in time, it was a horrible time for Moses to be born. I mean, after all, death was certain. There was no doubt about it. But the Bible said that God sent Moses. That tells me something. That when God, even no matter how difficult the circumstances are, that God can choose to send whoever he wants, whenever he wants, anytime he wants. And so God had sent this baby to Jochebed and Amram. He sent him, and we'll see in a moment, he had a responsibility. He had something that God wanted him to do. So let's read the rest of the story. "So she went, she hid him 3 months, because here's a newborn baby, and you just saw one that's just 5 months. Can you imagine only a three-month-old baby? And notice what it says in the passage in verse number 3. "And when she could not longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch, and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. And his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him." Now, let's get the story a little bit straighter in our mind. So here's what happened. So Jochebed decided that what she would do to protect her child and make sure that nobody was going to come and kill her son, she said, "Well, I have no choice. I have nothing else I can do. There's no way that I can hide him any longer. The noise, the growth, and all of that, it's no way." And so she decided that she would have to put her trust in God. She would have to trust God. He's the only one that could do it. And so the Bible said that she took him, she made an ark and put him in an ark and took him down to the Nile River. Now, what is really interesting is, his sister, Miriam, who we believe that is Moses' sister, was maybe around 10 to 12 years of age at this point. And we saw that she went down, according to this passage, and she wanted to see what would happen to the baby. I don't know that it was prearranged. Does it indicate that in Scripture? But certainly she had a part in this. Let's read on. "And the daughter of Pharaoh," verse 5, "came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along by the riverside. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him and said, 'This is one of the Hebrews' children.' Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, 'Shall I go and call thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee?'" Now notice, Miriam made the suggestion. That's a good way to do it. "And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, 'Go.' And the maid went and called the child's," who does it say? Who? Mother. Verse 9. "And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, 'Take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages.' And the woman took the child and nursed it. And the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son, and she called his name Moses. And she said, 'Because I drew him out of the water.'" So here we have a very interesting account of what God did here. God did some pretty amazing things in this story. It's obvious that God had a purpose in all of this, and we will learn from that in just a moment. But notice something in verse number 2 that's very interesting that you see here. You notice that the Bible said she made an ark of the bulrushes. The only other place that we ever see the word ark is found in Noah. And that's when Noah built the ark. And we know, and sometimes people will say this, sometimes they'll be preaching away. Have you heard preachers say this? And you guys know when Moses built the ark. But there's a confusion, but there's a similarity in some ways. Because we have ark and ark, and we see the similarities are very clear in the scriptures. For example, let's just look at a couple similarities, which I think is very significant. Number one is we can think of the fact both passed through deadly waters. I mean, it would be impossible for Moses to have drowned, and certainly that was a real possibility. He could have drowned. That basket could not have held him, or maybe only held him for a little time, and maybe in that Nile River could have just gone right under. And certainly Noah could have drowned in the water as well, but they both passed the deadly waters. Second of all, we notice here that they both rode in an ark. The ark. The ark of God. I'm sorry, I wrote road, R-O-A-D. It's R-O-D-E. Sorry about that. Just realized that. And then thirdly, they both were deliverers of the people by God. They were, if you would, they were going to deliver the people for salvation. So it's interesting to look at this because this is a parallel between Noah and Moses. But what is even more fascinating is the fact that God had a plan for Moses from day one. Did you notice here, the Bible said that he was a goodly child. There was a special mark that was on him. There was a special spot that you could see that there he was, this baby, being a goodly child, meant that God had a plan for him. There was something special about this child. There was something about this child that was different. And when I think about that, I begin to realize that what God is teaching us is something about trusting God with our children. Trusting God and believing God. Let me ask you this morning, can you trust God? Can you trust Him for your salvation? Can you trust Him with your life? And can you trust Him with the life of your children? That's the struggle. Because what we're looking at here, and that's what I want us to take away today, our major thought is this, that you can trust God in an untrusting world. That while we may not be able to trust maybe our neighbors or maybe those that we work with, or perhaps maybe those that we have contact with out here in our world. I mean, people can steal our identity. I mean, I don't trust telemarketers, people coming to my door, and so on. So, you know, we all have a lack of trust. Basically, our society is a society that has no trust at all. But with that in mind, though we may not be able to trust our world, that does not mean that we cannot trust God. That we must believe that we can trust God. And the Bible makes it very clear that what we look at here is Jochebed had to have complete trust in God. I mean, completely give everything over to God and trust that God would take care of her son. Can you imagine what she must have felt like? Can you imagine how she must have struggled with that? Can you imagine how she must have felt when she had to carry her 3-month-old son down and put him in the water and trusted God completely to take care of him? You see, here's what I believe today. I believe a lot of Christians today do not trust God completely. We only trust God partially. We only believe that God can, maybe He can take care of our salvation, but He can't take care of my life here. You know, I don't know that God can really take care of my finances or God can really take care of my physical life or God can really take care of this, you know. But I can trust God and believe that God can take care of my salvation. Why is it that we only trust God partially? Why can't we trust God completely? Why can't we trust God without any question? Just surrender it all to God. That's really what trust is. Trust is surrender. You see, A lack of trust is our trying to control things. Sometimes I think, I'm really good at that. That's one thing I like to, you know, control my life. I want everything my way. And God says, no, you have to trust me, surrender it. So what did she do? What did she trust? How did she trust God? Well, there are some ways I see very quickly in here that she did, what she did to trust God. Number one, she had to trust God's protection. She had to believe that God was big enough and powerful enough that God would protect her son. Now, I don't really know what it must have been like. I don't know what the look, what it must have looked like. But can you imagine her carrying this little three-month-old baby? You saw a five-month-old, just a couple months littler, younger than that. And carry that three-month-old baby down and put him in the water. That must have been a scary thing. But yet she had to trust that God was big enough to take care of her baby. She had to believe that God would protect. But second of all, she had to trust God's provision. That not only that God would protect, but that God would provide for him. Well, how many of you agree with me that babies probably need food real soon, within a couple of hours after they're fed the last time? I agree with that, right? Three-month-old baby, you know, they drink milk. Milk doesn't last long. They're ready to eat again. She had to believe that God was going to provide. And by the way, not only do we believe that for our three-month-old, we have to believe that for our 30-year-old. We have to believe that for one who is 50 years old. We have to believe that God is big enough, that God can take care and provide for their needs, just like he did for us. Miriam goes to the river. The princess who has come down to whatever she did to bathe, whether it be a ceremonial bath or whether it be just simply trying to cool down for the day. And she comes there, and here God has it all taken care of. Aren't you amazed how God takes care of things really well? Do you realize that when we trust God, that he can take care of things much better than we can? And so here he goes, and here God goes down and provides this princess. And then thirdly, she had to trust God's plan. God's plan is that of deliverance for the nation. God had a plan for Moses, that Moses was going to be a deliverer, which ultimately was going to be a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, who would be the one who would deliver us from our sins. That's God's plan. And by the way, that's God's plan for all of mankind. The reason why that Jochebed could be so trusting in God is because I believe that she knew the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that she knew him in of course, by faith, through the eyes of faith, looking for him to come. She believed in her Savior. She believed that the Lord was well able to do that, that she let go of her fears and her inhibitions and all those things. She gave them over to God, and she believed that God was bigger than she was and that God could take care of Moses. And by the way, this morning, to let you know that if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you can know him, that you can meet him in simple faith by trusting him as your personal Savior, that he can make all the difference in the world, and that because of that and because of knowing him, that God can make for you that trust a something that you can begin to develop and understand. And by the way, that's how big God is. I believe that God is so much bigger than ourselves. I like what one writer said. He says, like a hope divine in this troubled world is the thought of a mother's care. No payment is asked for its giving. No selfishness prompts its prayer. Shared, it increases in richness, divided, 'tis full in each part. For God has hidden a love like his own in the depths of the mother's heart. You see, the reason why that I really believe that she saw all those things take place in the nation of Israel, that later he became the deliverer for the nation, and how he led the children of Israel out, how he saw all those miraculous miracles, how that when he saw God in the burning bush before he was called to go, and then as God called him, and all of those things that took place, it was because there was a mother that trusted God. She believed in God. She trusted that God would take care of every need. And God certainly did do that. And God showed his power to them. You see, this work of God was initiated by Jochebed, the mother, that she understood the secret to all of this, and that's what it was about, is that that trust became that which is developed through her daily walk and prayer life with God. No doubt about it, Jochebed was a godly mother. She understood that. And let me ask you this morning. What about you today? You know, you worry about trust. Trust begins when you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. We have to realize that he came 2,000 years ago, that he died on the cross, that he was buried, and that he rose again. And when I put my faith and trust in him, I can say that all of eternity is in his hands. Thank God eternity is in Jesus' hands. And the moment that I trust him, and the moment that I believe on him, then that is just the starting. But something I've learned, that trust has to be developed. It has to be something that I grow in. The Bible says if I understand something about faith, that faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. That if my faith is going to develop, then that means that it's going to come as I spend time with God, that I begin to develop a closer relationship with God, that I surrender it all to God. I like that song we sing often at the invitation, I Surrender All. That's what trust is. And here's my question today. Can you trust God 100%? Are you trusting God 100%? How's your devotional life? When's the last time you spent some time with the Lord? Has it been so long you don't remember? When's the last time that you opened the Bible and you said, God, open mine eyes that they may behold wonderful things out of thy law? When's the last time you prayed and you talked to God? When's the last time that you prayed for your children? When's the last time, dads, that you spent time in prayer with your wife? When's the last time that you really developed that personal, intimate relationship for you? I was thinking, you know, how easy it is for us to get so busy with life that we don't spend that time with the Lord. But what we read here is a very powerful account about, here's a woman that had a daily walk with God, that developed a close relationship with the Lord. And through all of that, she knew that she could trust God. She knew that she could believe God. She knew that she could trust God with her children in an untrusting society. Today, moms, I know this is not a simple thing, but it's certainly a biblical thing to learn how to trust God. Let me encourage you to be like Jochebed and trust in God. Just give it up to God. Let God take care of our children. Now, that doesn't mean we neglect our responsibility. It certainly means that in our heart we can say, you know what? I know God is able to take care of my children. I trust him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father.